Pass the salt.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
You pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, we have passed the salt.
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, a little bit of vanity popping out on me here this morning. I was just kind of looking at my appearance today and seeing if my hat's okay and everything looking good. And then I noticed again, this tooth right here always glitters. And some of you out there probably think, why didn't he get that tooth fixed? Hey, dudes, this is a fixed tooth. This is an old sports injury. This is an implant, all right? Now, when I got that implant done, it matched up with the rest of your teeth. But as life goes on, your other teeth change colors a little bit. And then when I get the lights coming in from the side, it acts like a reflecting thing, I guess is the only thing I can say. What I need is I need a light right in front of me that would hit me straight on, and then I wouldn't look such as those bastards. So quit calling me popcorn tooth or whatever you're saying out there. Doing the best I can here.
Damn it, Dave. No,
what?
Ugly.
Yeah.
Ugly.
It matches my beard. I guess that's what I need. So understand this. This is the expensive tooth. I paid a lot of money for that one. It's the others, I guess. 20 years ago, whenever when they fizzed long, oh my goodness, I bet it's 30 years ago. It's been a long time. When they fixed that one, they're all the same color. I think they're all pretty close to the same color. Actually, it's a reflection. I don't even know I'm talking about that. Welcome, folks. Excuse me. Man, oh, man, we got 23 people. Come on, we can hold double that amount. Come on, if you're out there listening and you've never jumped in there, never wanted to be part, always wanted to be part of the Cube and never did, come on in. We'll be gentle with you. We won't make you say anything. And it just, again, it strokes our own ego. I think we can hold 50, somebody told me. Was it you, Larry, said we can hold 50 now? 50 people here in the queue? Maybe Jared, somebody. So come on in. Come on in. As bad as I slept on Monday, I doubled down last night. I had a good night's sleep last night. I woke up early, but I had a good night's sleep. And, I really, really, really believe in demonic oppression. I don't know if you guys do. I really believe in it. I really, really do. I said to my wife the other night, I told you I woke up in the middle of the night on Monday night. I got up at 3:30, ended up getting up at 3:30 because it's like somebody had put a VCR in my head and it kept playing that same tape over and over and over and over and over. Yeah, you've experienced that, right? You lay there, you're trying to go back to sleep, and that same thing keeps going on over your head, over, and you try to solve the problem so you can go back to sleep, and you don't solve the problem. And when you think you have the problem solved, then the video goes a little bit farther ahead, and I mean, it's like crazy, right? And I'm thinking, how can I lay here in bed that night, be sleepy, and my mind do that to me? What is going on? And there's a lot of people out there that are dealing with that same thing. Can't sleep at night, and I think a lot of it is demonic oppression. Don't know what else to tell you. Slept really good last night. My wife prayed over us. What do you say? She prayed well? Yeah, I crawled in bed and said, honey, get that prayer out. So she prayed over us last night, and I slept good, but she didn't sleep good. So at least that's what she said this morning. Man, I got a lot of stuff, Sherry. I always say that, but I do. Don't forget, Jared, click on Missouri event. I told you guys all yesterday that I'm going to go to Missouri. I got something in my eye where I rub it. I'm going to go to Missouri to be part of a pro-life event out there, and I felt really stupid because I didn't have a lot of information on it. Dumb me. And they got it to me yesterday. So we can get up on the screen. Anybody's out in the Missouri area? I'm going to say that right now, Lord. Here's the theme of the show, and then I'm gonna double back around, but the Holy Spirit just told me to say it, so y'all hang in there with me. We don't get anything done. I'm talking about the body of Christ. We don't get anything done because we all have our own agenda. We'll say it again. We don't get anything done because we all have our own agenda. And I'm not saying that anybody's agenda is wrong. I'm not saying that the thing that you want to fight for isn't important. I'm not saying that at all. But I know this. When I step away from home, I'm going to go to Missouri on Thursday. Speak at a pro-life event out there. There'll be some people that won't come because they don't think that's an important event. Because they think it's more important to do, let me throw something out there. They think the schools are more important. They think the rapture is more important. They think child trafficking is more important. They think politics is more important. And so as a result of it, we all have our own pet projects. And we don't get anywhere because there are people right here in the queue, including me, who say, that's not that big a deal. And so when somebody tries to organize something, like right now, Elizabeth Johnson, the activist mom, he's trying to organize a walkout, a sex ed walkout. April 23rd, I believe it is, a sex ed walkout. She's trying to get every Christian parent to walk out of the public schools and protest the debauchery being taught in our government schools. I wonder how many people are going to participate in that. I don't think that's not important. That doesn't matter. And so we end up, everybody doing, dare I say it, what's right in their own eyes, what's important in their own eyes. And the truth of it is, we ain't getting a whole hell of a lot done. I had to say that, and then I'm going to throw this up on the screen, because that's what I'm going to talk about today. So, Jared, I'm sorry, do you have it up there, buddy? I've been jabbering so hard, my jaw's about to fall off back here. Where is it? There it is. I'm sorry. Okay, so there it is. Calling all Christians. Come join us at the Missouri State Capitol for a rally to encourage our legislature to pass House Bill 1751 and end abortion in our state. We simply can't leave it up to the civil government to bring justice to the unborn. Time for us, the people of God, to love our preborn neighbors and stand in their gap for these precious lives. When is it? It's Thursday, April 12th at 1:30 at Jefferson City at the State House. Speakers are going to be Cal Zastro and Coach Dave Dobenmeyer. And I know these folks have put a lot of work and effort and energy into it. And a lot of people won't come because they don't think it's important. So this is one of you say, well, Coach, we can't fly around and be part of everything. I know you can't. I'm going to drive 8.5 hours. It's important enough to me. You say, well, of course you are. You're speaking. Well, I got to get in my car and drive 8.5 hours. They asked me to come and speak. I'll go come and speak. We'll go 8.5 hours to try to help these folks in abortion. But see, there are going to be others going to say, well, that's not that important. We don't like that bill, and that bill's not good. And then, like, for instance, I don't know. I doubt if Elizabeth Johnson's, the activist mommy's, listening. But I saw another ministry, and I'm not trying to do. I saw another ministry saying, Elizabeth, what are you doing? You should be telling people to get their kids out of the school, not going in and try to reform the schools. And you know what? I agree. I'll try to get people out of the school. But does that mean you don't have a walkout to protest? Even the children of parents who aren't saved shouldn't be taught debauchery in our schools, should they? Even Amen. Those kids.
Amen.
We shouldn't be teaching to anybody. So the idea that we have a walkout brings awareness of what's going on. Oh, boy. I'm feeling my oats today, guys and girls. Feeling my oats.
You
so there we are. I'm going to be in Missouri calling all cars, calling all cars. If you can get there, we'd love to see you there. I'm going to be doing my show from Missouri on Thursday morning, not from the state house, but from there. Okay?
Cool. You should do it from the state house.
What's that, Vinny?
You say you should do it from the state house.
Yeah, I should. I don't, except at the events at 1:30, so I'm not going to be, it's actually 2:30 my time. Also today, let me give you a heads up. I was going to go and I got the message late. In Washington, D.C. today, Alex Jones is having a press conference at 9 o'clock. Alex Jones and Doug Hagman and several others we know are involved in it. It has to do with going on the offense regarding this Facebook censoring all this stuff that's going on. And there's going to be some legal action taken, and I believe that's being announced today. So if you're an InfoWars follower, I think I heard they're going to start streaming about 8:40, and he's at the National Press Club. They're holding a press conference, and there'll be several people there. And if I'd gotten the word sooner, I would have gone to that as well. So we're beginning to fight back a little bit, maybe a little bit late. And let me catch a deep breath here. Truth is fallen in this piece. Yes, yes, Roger, go ahead.
Catching your breath. I was listening to Hagman, I think, on Friday when they talked about the cancellation of hotels for Brandon House.
Right.
It was shocking to me in that I didn't know that. I mean, it was unbelievable. Here a man signs a contract, rents out hotels to come in to exercise his free speech on Islam and Christianity, and he is muzzled by fear of whatever the hotels have because of receiving lots of phone calls, and they literally control his ability to share his thought. And if our churches think that is not coming to their pulpit,
amen, Roger, amen.
If they think that Sunday's going to be protected, how can you be that foolish? How can they think this is not coming their direction?
Amen. Amen. Well, Roger, how about this one? Why the H-E double hockey sticks? Don't the local police protect their right to do it? We're having an event. Why should I have to hire extra police to protect us? Isn't that their job? Isn't free speech enough? Isn't that worthy of protection? You say, oh, you want protected? Okay, well, $100 an hour per cop, we'll come and protect you. Are you kidding me? What is going on? And that's where I'm heading today, Roger. That's why I said I got to catch my breath here, because I want to present this in such a way. I want to try to tie everything together here that's going to make sense to everybody that's watching this, okay? It is amazing. It is amazing. You guys probably didn't follow that Brandon House thing, Worldview Weekend thing. At least three different locations this last weekend, Brandon does what he's taking his act on the road, talking about Islam and all other stuff that makes people uncomfortable. Signed contracts, rented three different hotels, put out like $15,000 in promotional materials, and all three venues canceled. Because why? Because the other side is unified. And they began to make phone calls and send emails, and every one of the hotels canceled the contract with no way for Brandon to recoup his money. That's it. Well, Coach, that's good. Jesus is coming. Jesus, yeah, not soon. Not soon enough, Ian. And you know what? Jesus is coming, and for some of you, that ain't going to be very good news, okay? It's not like Santa Claus is coming to town. You with me here? Santa Claus is coming to town. Jesus is coming. It ain't going to be the same, all right? He ain't coming down no chimney. Go ahead. Go ahead, Dale.
Yeah, Coach, I shared with my church probably 15 years back, and I believe it's prophetic because we're seeing what you were saying about just all these different venues. I mean, it's just an onslaught. And I told him, I said, listen, I said, if you don't go to the gates of hell, I said, it's a matter of time before them gates of hell are coming to you. And that's what we're seeing.
We know that.
Brother, this is hot on every single avenue. I mean,
it's not
tiptoeing around anything. The dollar amount about, why do we got to rent cops and stuff like that? I mean, part of that I understand because it's considered once you get past a certain amount of people, they consider that being a public forum kind of a thing, and that you now have to hire detailed police officers because you're taking them out of their routine. But outside of that, it's really a money thing. It's a money market, brother. There's greed there just as well.
Hey, Coach.
Chad, Chad, come in here. Go ahead, Serge. Chad, then I want to hear from you. I'm going to ask you a question. Go ahead, Serge.
And for those people who whine and bitch about paying for conventions like this, he doesn't charge a thing.
Yeah.
Doesn't charge a thing.
Brandon House doesn't charge a thing.
Yep, and now he's going to have to because it's just costing him too much.
So, well, see, That's one of the lessons that I've learned. That's why I'm starting. If I could tell you guys right now the amount of money that we, Past Assault Ministries, have invested in travel and events and projects that got canceled at the last minute, and I was left holding the bag of flight expenses, hotel, what I can't even tell you the number of times that that's happened, right? And so it's real. It's real. This is real, right? This is real.
Yeah.
And so I've gotten to the point where, for the first time ever in our ministry, I'm going to demand upfront expenses because I'm tired of it. Of people asking me to come. Sure, I get a ticket and I go, they're going to reimburse me, and then they cancel the event. Happens over and over and over.
And
Chad, hey, Chad, I know you're there. So, Chad, I'm going to go to the Homo Pride Parade in Columbus, Ohio, coming up here at our national event coming up.
Yeah,
hey, Chad, that street's going to be lined with cops. Are you telling me those guys are being paid for by the homo organizers, or is the city paying for that, Chad?
The city will pay for that.
Yeah, but the homo organizers behind it.
Say that again, Chad. So I have to hire special cops to come and protect my right to be able to have an event. I got to pay for that. But the homos can close down the streets, and the city will pay that?
Yeah, if there's an event that causes overtime, it does in all the cities. If there, whatever the event is, if they have to have street closures and all that kind of stuff, then they have to have all the police out there are lining it, and security and traffic is the main thing, is traffic. And so, but yeah, all the cities have to do that. And then, you know, you have so many officers,
Chad,
out there, then you have to have.
Chad, stop doing that. Who's paying for it, Chad? That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, the taxpayers. The taxpayers,
all right? Hey, Chad, who's paying for my right to have my event?
Nobody.
Well, I got to hire $100 an hour. I got to hire, right? Right?
All right.
Okay. So here's where I'm heading today. And
well, I'm telling you, Dave, if you have a big event and you had to close down it, then they would offer you the same thing. That's what I'm saying.
You know what I think? I think you're full of it. That's what I think.
I agree, Coach. I don't think they would.
I already did it. I'm $571 in hoc to the Columbus Police Department for an event that I tried to organize, and of course someone canceled out on me at the last minute. But the $571 that I put down for the special duty cops to come, I don't get that.
But Coach, Chad is correct, because when we look at our OSA events, we do not hire those police officers. Those are all covered by the city. Actually, by the taxpayer, though. By the taxpayer.
That's what they're there for, I think, right? But don't let me get bogged down.
I agree.
I'm getting ready to pop the clutch.
I don't think that we should, for a small event like that, I think they should be assigned. I don't think that it should be paid for. But when you go to like Lowe's or Home Depot or to the airport, those police are paid detail. And a lot of the cops join the force. I've been asked time and time again to join because of just the money these police officers make off these details. And a lot of them go in there because they make more money off the detail than they do as a police uniform.
So I want to tip my cap right now to the Oath Keepers who are providing security for us at our event coming up here in 10 days. Stuart Rhodes and the Oath Keepers are going to be there. And, yes, they will be packing, and yes, they will be authorized to be our defense. So this is what I want to appreciate. Let everyone know that.
Amen.
And God for the Oath Keepers, that they're going to come and do that for us. Okay, listen, guys, I'm heading someplace today. Now, I got a couple questions I want to ask you, first of all. I want to make a point, okay? And then I'm going to try to take you somewhere. I don't care what your politics are. I can't believe what they're doing to Trump. I just can't even believe it. And the question I had last night to myself before I went to bed last night was, why haven't they ransacked Hillary's lawyer's office yet? When are they going to ransack the Podesta? When does that happen? When do they ransack, what was her name? Loretta Lynch or whatever her name was. When do they ransack her? When do they go ransack, Eric Holder? When did they go ransack? What is going on other than The spiritual war is breaking out right in front of us, okay? Yes.
You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to give Trump a blue dress moment.
Of course they are. And so where is, here's where I'm heading. Where is justice? See, there is no justice. No. And I got several scriptures today that I want to share with you as I take you for a walk. Now, hang on with me. Understand this. Here's what's happened, guys. There is no truth. There is no longer any standard of truth. And if we're going to blame anybody, we could blame a lot of people. Okay, I don't know whether it started in the church and crept into the government. I don't know where it started. But I know this, that the legal system is absolutely an abomination. There is no justice. And all legal fights become what? A matter of opinion. This lawyer says this, and this lawyer says this, and then this lawyer says this, and this lawyer says this, and then we try to get a judge in to make a decision. Well, the judge, he comes in, and sometimes he's wearing the same uniform as one of the attorneys. And so whoever buys off the attorney or whatever, you guys all know what I'm talking about. I don't have to paint a picture so that you understand that what we are seeing right now is what was that, Roger? You're an attorney? Scales of justice, what are they? They're blind? Huh? That's a joke? That's a joke? Is that ever a joke? And I'm going to tell you this, and this is, got to be careful what I say. Roger, I'm just going to pick on you, Roger. If they were to haul your sorry butt into jail, into court, I don't care. Pick out whatever it is. Weaver, we think that you gave $25,000 to this candidate and it wasn't legal, and they haul you into court. Brother, they will twist and twist and twist and twist and twist until they get blood out of you. That is the way the system works. They can take any one of us. What if you read in the paper, Coach Dave arrested for whatever, I don't know what it would be. Coach Dave arrested for, I don't know. Pick it. Trafficking in children. And I wasn't. I didn't do it. Of course, now it's out there that I did it. Now everybody thinks, I knew there was something about that guy. I just knew there was something wrong with him. I could tell he was always fighting against homos. It would all be out there, right? And then I would spend the rest of the time, even though I'm innocent of it, rest of the time fighting through the court system, because all they want to do is get a scalp. They don't care what it is. And if you don't think that Robert Mueller, I don't know his politics and I don't care, if you don't think he's after a scalp, boys, oh boy, oh boy. So what we have is an unjust justice system. I'm going to say, see, what do they call that? An unjust justice system. We have an unjust justice system. Those two words shouldn't even go together. But our justice system is unjust. You mean there's nobody that can control Robert Mueller? Nobody? Nobody can. Oh, well, Rod Rosenstein? Well, we can't because he's a Hillary supporter. Well, what about Jeff Sessions? Oh, no, he had to recuse him. Nobody can. Robert Mueller's more powerful than Congress, President of the United States. I mean, guys, we are heading towards unbelievable tyranny, man. We're almost already there. And I'm not here to make the defense of President Trump. It isn't even about that. Wasn't it that same justice system that told us that when Bill Clinton was getting donked in the Oval Office, it was just a private matter? Wasn't it those same lawyers that are now saying that Trump did this to Stormy whoever 13 years ago, and that's not a private matter? No. Now we got to go to his attorney. Guys, I'm telling you, if you think when they come knocking on your door that you have any. When we got Ken Hovind out of jail down in Pensacola, Florida, it was the first time a defendant, someone charged in federal court, first time in 9 years a defendant had beaten the federal government. First time in 9 years. You tell me that's a justice system where one team wins all the time? You say that's justice? So I'm here to give you fair warning. When they come cooking your goose is cooked. They will hang something on you, and their entire plan will be to destroy you and destroy your witness and destroy everything that you've done. That is the plan. That's what's going on with President Trump. Okay? Now, listen, I'm taking this somewhere because I started out today and what did I say? See, everybody is doing what is right in their own eyes. This ministry's this and this ministry, well, that's my ministry's this and my ministry's that and my ministry's here and my ministry is this and my ministry's this and you don't do it right and you don't do it right and you don't do it right and you don't do it right. And in the meantime, the devil's team, they're just making phone calls and bombarding the police and they're just moving the ball down the field. We're arguing over what play to run next. Because it tells us in Psalm 1, excuse me, let's get in here, Jared. I'm going to take you through a Bible, a trip through the Bible real quickly. Psalm 133, Jared, you see the first one there. Psalm 133. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in
unity.
Now let me tell you something. Even in this queue, they're in unity. Even in this queue, there are other agendas at work. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
It's like a precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard, even under Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life evermore. What did the Lord command it to? Towards the unity. The unity. Not uniformity. Not everybody doing the same thing, see? See, the way it ought to work is if this guy's got a ministry towards the sex trafficking, then we ought to all push together to help with sex trafficking when he has an event scheduled. And this guy's got an event scheduled, and the focus of his ministry is abortion, then we ought to all work together on that one. And then this guy, but see, we don't do that because, can I tell you why? We have not yet figured out what the real problem is. And it's like you live your life and you have interests. And so the Lord says something to you and that becomes your interest. And now that's all you want to talk about is what you are interested in. Now, you can say what you want. Michelle said to me before I came down here, and I'm going to say this proudly. You hear me? I play with everybody. I play with everybody. Wherever, if a guy's fighting this issue, I'll go play with him. If they're fighting an issue in Missouri, I'll go play with him. If they're fighting an issue in Washington, D.C., I'll go play with them. They're fighting an issue, and I'll go play with them. And I'm going to tell you something. There's some of you out there watching right now will only play when your team's playing. Somebody say amen, because I'm telling you the truth here.
Amen.
Now, we have to get to the root of the issue. I understand that. And then we argue over what's the root of the issue. Well, the root of the issue is sin. That's the root of the issue. And the root of the issue is a lot of things. But I can tell you this. It ain't unity. We're not unified in our battle. We are not unified. You look at the abortion battle right now. Do you have any idea how divided the pro-life movement is? Do you have any idea how divided it is? You look in the local church, and do you have any idea how divided the local church is on education? Any idea at all? Do you have any idea when you look in the church how divided the church is on the issue of divorce? You look in the church, you have any idea how divided the church is on the issue of homosexuality and transgender same sex? You look in the church, you have any idea how divided the church is on whether kids should be in public school or private schools? You look in the church, do you have any idea that the church, whether we should be focused on the rapture, is it pre-trib or post-trib or mid-trib or no-trib? What do you see what's going on? And we look at the enemy, and they are all together focused for the same thing every time. Not because it's all their issue, but they understand that the heart of the heart is to destroy everything that is good. And if they Amen. See something that is going to destroy something good, they're in, baby. They're in.
That's it.
Amen.
Our team? No. It's not righteous enough, and it's not pure enough, and it's not the right target, and it's not the right way, and blah, blah, blah. And they just keep cramming it right down our throat.
Amen.
I'm preaching a good this morning. I'm preaching Amen. A good. I know I am. I know they're in. Hey, go to Judges 21, Jared. Let's go to Judges. I got to get these scriptures out there. Remember, I don't like to pick and choose scriptures. I don't think it's healthy, okay? But I got a few of them I got to pick and choose here. Let's go to Judges 21:25, Jared. Let's line on down there. I got my wait, I get to Amos. Huh? Let's start in 23. No, start in 22, Jared. I haven't even looked at this. I just these scriptures were in my heart. And it shall be when their fathers or their brethren come up unto us to complain, that we shall say unto them, be favorable unto them for our sakes, because we reserve not to each man his wife in war, for ye did not give unto them at this time that ye should be guilty. And the children of Benjamin did so, and took them wives, and according to their number, of them that danced, and whom they caught. And they went, and they returned unto their inheritance, and repaired their cities, and dwelt in them. And the children of Israel departed thence at that time, every man to his tribe, and to his family. And they went out for thence, every man to his inheritance. And in those days, when there was no king in Israel, every man did whatever the heck he wanted to do. That's where we are. You know why? Because there's no king. There's no king in America anymore. There's no standard. There's nothing that we agree on. There's nothing we agree on. Republicans against Democrats, left against right. Even in the church, we are divided. And it's where there is unity that God will command the blessing. So Jared, go to Judges 17:6. You're going to have to bear with me till I get this out of me. Because I got to live with me when the show's up. Judges 17, verse, start right there. Verse 5. And the man Mike had a house of gods and made an ephod, the teraphim, and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. And in those days, there was no king in Israel. But every man did that which was right in his own eyes. There's no king in America. There's no right and wrong in America. There is no justice in America. There's no agreement on right and wrong in America. There's no agreement on right and wrong in the church. Isaiah 59, Jared. Isaiah 59, verse 14. Somebody say, you say amen. I'm feeling it.
Amen, brother.
In transgressing and lying against the Lord, departing away from God, from our God, speaking oppression, revolt, and conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, judgment is turned away backwards, and justice stands far off, for truth has fallen in the street. Truth has fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Equity meaning equal justice. It can't enter. Yea, truth has fallen, and he that departs from evil makes himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him. There was no judgment. There's no judgment because there's no standard. Hang on, I'm not done yet. Jared, go to Matthew 24. I'll take a few of you into the New Testament for those of you who get nervous in the old one. Matthew 24:12. And he answered, let's start right there, Jared. All these are the beginning of sorrows. I'm in 8, 24, 8. I'm in a hurry. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. I am so sick of the elected officials getting away with their crap. I'm sick of it. And see? I'm not mad, it just seems like it. Not only am I sick of it, amen. I can tell you this, the Lord's sick of it. Lord is sick of it. He's sick of it that there is no justice. And what's happening when there is no justice? The love of many is waxing cold. Look around. Look what's going on. Look what's going on. I'm not done yet. Let's go to Amos. Who? Yeah, Amos. Yeah. By the way, boys, did you know that when the first century church was formed, and they went out and they went from street corner to street corner, and they went and they preached in the synagogues, and they preached in the streets, and they preached. Do you know that they were preaching from the Old Testament? Do you know there was no New Testament? Do you know that? There was no New Testament. Justice. Where am I? Amos 3:3. I'm sorry, Jared. You start at 1. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of the church, against the whole Christian family, which I brought up from out of the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquity. What? Yeah. Huh? Why? Can two walk together? If they be agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he has nothing taken? Taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord hath not done it? Wow. Hang on, I'm about done here. So we wanted to start. Let's go to Amos 5. Amos 5. 12. Bear with me here. Verse 11. For as much, therefore, as your treading is upon the poor, and you take from him burdens of wheat, you've built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not dwell in them. You've planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink the wine of them. For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. They afflict the just. They take a bribe. They turn aside the poor and the gate from their right. Is that something? Is that something? Therefore, the prudent shall keep silence in that time. For it's an evil time. Yeah, keep your mouth shut. It's an evil time. Keep your mouth shut and you'll be okay. They won't come after you. Seek good, not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as you've spoken. Hate the evil and love the good and establish judgment in the gate. Judgment is love. It makes everybody equal. Judgment is love. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Therefore, the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord says thus, wailing shall be in all streets, and they shall say in all the highways, alas, alas, and they shall call the husbandman to mourning, and such as are skillful of lamentation to wailing. And in all the vineyards shall be wailing. There's wailing all across America, boys. For I will pass through thee, saith the Lord. And woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. How about this? Jesus is coming. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness, not light, baby. And as if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall, and a snake bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark and no brightness in it? Listen, I despise your religious activities, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. So you offer me burnt offerings and all that religious stuff, I'm not going to accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vials. But let judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. Have you offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? But you have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch, and you tune your images, the star of your God, which you made to yourselves. Therefore will I cause you to go into captivity beyond this. That's Damascus, saith the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. All right. What's the theme?
No justice.
No justice. No justice. No justice. And I can tell you why there's no justice. Because there's no justice in the church. And Christians can't even agree on justice. And as my buddy Matt Tice would tell us, we've elevated the second commandment above the first. We love our friends more than we love the Lord. And so therefore, as much as none of us want to, see, guys, judgment is a good thing. Judgment's a good thing. If it's righteous judgment, it's a good thing. Righteous judgment brings correction and direction. That's what righteous judgment does.
Amen.
We're told all the time, don't judge, don't judge, don't judge. Oh, your son thinks he's a woman. Well, don't judge. Who are you to judge? Oh, your son's been married three times. He's living with another woman. Well, who are you to judge? Stop judging. Stop judging. And see, judgment brings correction. Judgment brings correction. It's the Lord's ways of getting you back on track. Come on in. I got more stuff. I'm going to catch my breath.
Judgment brings, hey, coach, judgment brings conviction, which bring forth correction. That's godly right. love right there. But, you know, you were reading in Isaiah, and it went on, and not only did it see that the Lord saw that it was displeasing, and people like, oh, God's going to straighten it out at the end. Yeah, it goes on to say that then the Lord himself brought salvation, and his righteousness upheld him. And then he put on the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, but he also put on the garment of vengeance. And he wrapped himself with the zeal of mantle, and he repaid his adversaries. Brother, let me tell you what. When God does it, he's heavy-handed, church. And Amen. He's not going to do it your way, and it's going to be a fearful day on that day. And it says that he's going to drive fear from coastland to coastland.
Yeah. Let me throw this in. Then you can come, Roger. This happened in my house on Saturday morning. My grandchildren are down here, and they fight. They're 2-year-olds, and they fight all the time. And my grandson he really likes to pick a fight. I like an independent streak in. But I told him about 3 times. He's not my son, so I don't try to discipline him. But he's in my house. I have to discipline him. And so he got out of line pushing the little one, and I grabbed his arm, told him to stop, and he went over and did it again. And then I grabbed him by the shoulders. And I picked him up, and I put him about 2 inches from my face. And I told him, you don't do that in my house. If you do that again in my house, you are going to get the worst spanking you ever had. Now, they've never seen that. They've never seen that from Grampy. None of them. You know what happened? Unbelievable silence went in. The oldest, Reese, she wanted to go home. She'd never seen Grampy like that. And I told him, listen, I do this to you because I love you. You're not going to act like this in my house. And I sat down. And it wasn't 20 seconds. Then all 3 of them brought a book and crawled on my lap and wanted me to read them a book. It was the most unbelievable example of justice being loved. And they got it.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. You know, justice begins in the house of God. Also, justice is not only good. Justice is mandatory.
Justice is the Lord. The judgment is written on his thigh. Yes, Roger?
Oh, I was just going to add, and Dale said the word. Not only is judgment lacking, there is no fear of God's judgment. There is no fear of what he will do. There, you know, I think of David Arthur, and part of his testimony, I believe, is he did not want to go to hell. He feared what was going to happen if he did not come to Christ. There is no fear. And there's no fear of God's judgment. His judgment flows through Scripture.
Amen, Roger.
Of the fear of it.
Okay, Roger. And so we got blind justice. Let me ask you, Roger. Hillary Clinton afraid of justice? She's laughing at it. Obama afraid of justice? No, he's laughing at it. They call you in? You're afraid of justice? Oh, yeah. Yeah. See, the idea of justice is to balance the scales. It's to balance the scales. And so we're in the mess that we're in today because there's 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 different sets of justice. And all of us watching right now know that when we get justice, it's not going to be the same justice that Obama gets. We know that. Somebody else, come on in.
Hey, you know what we need? We need to starve these people. We need to make our own assemblies. We don't need to rely on their stupid hotels, right? So we don't need to get trapped with their stupid threat. We have to find a way to have people all come together.
Hey, Vinny, get out of New York, because the churches, I couldn't get a church that would open the door to a Christian event like I'm putting on. Not a church.
I know.
Right? The problem's us. The problem's us. It ain't them. There's no unity in our body. No unity.
Right. Amen,
some say judge homosexuality. Some say no, love it. Some say judge living together. Some say no. Accept it. No. See, we're lost and confused. There's no standard. So look, I want to show you a couple examples real quick. Sorry to dominate. That's all right. Jared, well, 5 signs of judgment. I don't want to go there. Jared, this will be a good one. Jared, let's go down to Texas masturbation. So what? This is where we are. I'm going to show you examples of about 5 different things here. Okay, bear with me a second. Just today, just this morning, I'm getting up. There's a Texas bill prohibiting male masturbation moves closer to becoming law. They want to create a law in Texas where if you masturbate, it's $100.
Yes,
I saw that. The reason they want to create the law is to try to, again, bring equity between, see, a man doesn't need a court. A man can't be stopped from masturbating by a court order. Why should a woman not be able to have an abortion by a court order? And all this crazy, crazy, crazy stuff. This is, first of all, Miss Texas woman here, it's a sin. See, masturbation is a sin. Abortion is a sin. Adultery is a sin. You cannot make crooked or straight what the Lord's made crooked. We don't have a common sense of right and wrong. Texas bill for male masturbation. Great. Good one. Let's go to this. Jared, let's go to the next one. Colored people down at the bottom. Colored people. Colored people. Some guy's losing his job because he made a remark about colored people. Colored people. Now, wait a minute. Isn't there a thing called the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People? Hey, Vince, help me. Yeah. It is the NAACP, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. So this guy makes a remark talking about colored people. He's going to have to resign. Going to have to resign. Why?
Because they're pathetic. They're pathetic. Virtual signal.
There's no truth. See, we have no common platform of truth. Hang on, Jared. Click on Boston Marathon. this is how stupid we are. This is just I don't even know what to say to some of this stuff. Other than there is no when there was no king in Israel, everyone did what they was right in their own eyes. How about this one? Boston Marathon is allowing men to compete as women.
Oh, please.
Boston Marathon has made a decision that if a man feels like a woman, then he can run in the women's race.
Because 5 years ago they had a bombing? Really? It's just stupid.
Well, there's no standards, right? You understand? Guys, there aren't even any standards in what's a male and a female. There aren't any standards.
Wow.
There's no fundamental right and wrong. Jared, let's go to another one. This is a good one. This goes back to 1981. Jared, let's go to the goldfish. Let's go to the one that says protect goldfish. Yeah, I know you didn't know that. This is just surfing a little bit this morning. I come across all these things. Did you guys know in 1981? Cruelty to animals. Look at this. 1981, Monday, August 31st, 1981. In this Massachusetts case, right on down, the plaintiff, a concessionaire at the Brockton Fair, intended to award goldfish as prizes in the game of chance. So in other words, they're at the fair and the guy's throwing ping pong balls into whatever, and the win. If you get a ping pong ball in the little jug, you get a little goldfish. Well, the defendant, the Massachusetts Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, asserted that such conflict would violate this. In the action for declaratory relief, the court considered whether the term "animal" in the statute includes goldfish, and the court concluded that, yep, you can't do that to goldfish. But you can abort babies.
Ridiculous.
You understand the standard? You understand the point I'm trying to make to you today? Can two walk together unless they agree? We can't even agree if a man's a man. We can't even agree whether a goldfish has more rights than an unborn baby. We can't even agree on the standard. Why? Because the truth has fallen in the streets and it cannot get up. This used to be the basis. This was the basis. This is guys and girls. This isn't even the basis in our own churches anymore. This isn't even the basis. This isn't even the platform of truth upon which we stand. This isn't. Come on in here. I got another one, but I'll wait a minute.
Amen, Coach.
Hey, boys, I'm nailing it today. You may not like it, but I'm nailing it today.
I love it, brother. How about this? Remember I mentioned a guy, John Juca? Right? You know, yeah. He's in jail. Okay, it's absolutely without doubt that he was innocent of it. And he's still in jail. You go to freejohnjuka.com and check out the story. The guy who killed him absolutely confessed to doing it and said John Duke had nothing to do with the bloody thing. He was asleep on his couch when Mark Fisher was murdered. This makes me sick.
Hey, Coach?
Yeah, Serge?
A couple of years ago when I first started listening to you, I told my wife, and I've been praying ever since then, that you and True News and InfoWars and Common Sense and all you guys need to get together, need to rally together and get all your people together, because that's the only way we're going to accomplish anything, because we're just, like you said, we're battling little fights here and there, and it's just a bunch of bullshit.
Serge, we won't play together. We won't play together. I'm going to pat myself on the back again. I play with everybody. If the devil's popping his head up, I go whack-a-mole. I'll go whack-a-mole. Anybody and everyone, I'll go. No. Can I tell you how many people come and play with me?
Not too many.
Not too many. No, not too many. They don't come and play with me.
No.
Why? I don't know. Maybe it's my approach. I don't know. Why can't we all get along, Rodney King?
No.
Why can't we all get along?
Right.
Well, we can all get along as long as we water down what we stand for. Somebody trying to jump in. Go ahead. I'm not moaning. I'm not crying. I'm not feeling sorry for myself. I'm just pointing out the obvious.
You know, it all boils down to the word unity, I think. We, in our minds, because we are independent individuals that believe we're independent, you know, individually responsible for our actions and stuff, our concept of unity is everybody has to agree with me. Because I'm right. I know what the story is. And the left's idea of unity is I will, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And anybody that's against Trump, let's get together. You know, that's the mindset that they have.
That's what they're unified around. Right. See, we should be unified around truth, and we're not. Yeah, Jared.
Well, I'll put another spin on it. Your wife's version of unity is different than your version of unity.
It is.
Men and women are different.
Yep.
Men's version of unity is different than women's version of unity. And we're run by women and children.
It is. Yeah, well, my wife, you're right. My wife would wish nothing more than everybody got along. And my idea of unity is to get rid of those guys I can't trust.
Amen. Amen, Jared.
It's our own personal vanity. It's our own personal vanity, and everybody wants to have things their way.
That's right.
Well, Coach,
that's right.
The great line in the church, come on, you know this, that's not my calling. That's yours.
Right, right.
Make you want to vomit, huh?
Right.
Well,
right.
Hey, Coach, to add to that, Dale, it's, you know, what I see still in the organized church is that where the unity is the unity is as long as you're agreeing with what's going on inside the four walls.
That's right.
You know, that particular congregation is, that's unity from the leadership's point of view.
But
if you try to instigate something outside of the four walls and try to get people on board with it, then you're not in unity.
No, that's right. And I'm going to, I got to say this one too. Lord, let me say that.
Yes.
Thanks, Serge. If I put on an event in Akron, Ohio, and I invite everybody to come, some will, some won't, some can't. I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty. I'm trying to make a point. I promise you this. If I called every one of them and gave them a speaking spot, they'd come. Somebody say amen.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
I'm sorry, Coach. I like to come. I just can't make it. I'm so busy this week. Oh, really? That's going to give you a chance to speak. Oh, well, let me check my schedule and see if I can move some things around here.
They would become someone else.
Not
it's
me.
It's all priorities. So
yeah.
Listen, I'm not trying to throw a knife at anybody. I'm just trying to show you human nature and what I deal with on a daily basis. What I deal with. I never say, I'll come if I can speak. I never say that. Never. Now I'm thinking, man, you're not going to have me speak? Something wrong with you. That's like, I think that sometimes. But I never make that a condition of whether I'm going to come or not. Because you know why? I love my brother. And I know my brother's put a lot of time and effort and energy into that project that he's working on. And I'm going to go honor my brother by trying to stand with him and support him in his endeavor. It's not about me and my agenda. It's not about any of that. And there's a lot of agendas that are getting in the way. That's why the pro-life movement is where it is. National Right to Life does not want to end abortion. We do understand that, don't we? National Right to Life funds the Republican Party. The Republican Party does not want to end abortion. You understand that, don't you?
Amen.
Have we understood that yet? How can two walk together unless they agree? That's the mess that we're dealing with. And so now it has become so brazen. I'm about out of time, aren't I? Wow. Now it's become so brazen. The Donald Trump thing was about collusion, wasn't it? Wasn't about collusion with Russia?
Oh, supposedly.
Wasn't that what it's about? And now it's about Stormy Daniels?
Now it's Monica's blue dress.
Folks.
No one cares.
No, because it doesn't impact them. Doesn't impact them.
No. Ridiculous.
Help me wind it down here. Now that I've made you all mad, I'm not. Hey, listen. If the shoe fits, wear it. All right?
Amen.
If the shoe fits, wear it. If it doesn't, then that's okay. Then that's okay. Come on in here. I got some more stuff, but I'm about out of time.
It's fantastic. Fantastic. You didn't say anything wrong today, brother.
I know I didn't. And you know what, Vince? I don't care if you think I did.
Yeah.
That's even more freeing.
That's your conviction, brother. Conviction, baby.
Amen. Come on, somebody jump in. I got 26 people in here and just me and Vince having a conversation.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Hey, I'll just share with everybody. It's like last summer. You're talking about this, and I was up on that public square with all of them leftists with their signs, protesters. And I put a call into you, and you said, I'll be right up. And you came up, two or three different Saturdays and hung out there on the square with me. Not one day. You didn't even have to say a word. You just held that abortion sign. And you know, now I'm running for commissioner, and I had a lady the other day attack me at the gas station about going up there and speaking on the square on top of that van to all of them leftists. So you know what's going to come out. They're going to come out with, we do the abortion clinic. We do the gay parades. Why are you so mean? They're going to just come out in full.
And those who should be on your team will run from you.
That's right.
Yep. That's where we are. Come on, I got 2 minutes. Somebody tell me how much you love me, and you're not, it's okay. I kicked you in the shins today. Jerry.
Ray, go for it, Ray.
I was just going to ask Coach to cover what you're going to do Thursday a little more. Pull in a few more guys.
Awesome.
Okay, we haven't firmed that up yet, but we're having an event before the event. For those of you who are coming to Akron, Canton, we're having an event before the event on Thursday night. And Ray, I haven't said anything about that yet because we haven't firmed that up. Now, listen, can I tell you something? Right there's a guy. Ray LeBlanc. You know what he wants to do? He wants to advance the kingdom of God. He drives to Wisconsin to help Rob Pugh. He's coming to Ohio to help us. He goes down to Alabama to help Judge Roy Moore. He goes to Dallas to help in Dallas. In fact, Ray LeBlanc rented a van and put L.A. Marzulli and Mike Kurz, a bunch of books and stuff for others to save them shipping costs. Ray LeBlanc is driving a van, a trailer full of supplies from Dallas, Texas to our event in Akron on April 20th, 22nd. Why? Because he's on the team. He's just on the team. And let me play wherever I can play. Oh, you want me to drive? Okay. Oh, you want me to check passes? Okay. Oh, you want me to go get gas? Oh, okay. You want me to? Yeah, that's it. That's how you win. What is it? What is it? Rocky said, that's how winning's done.
Let me add this. You know, I don't mind a bit individual Christians having their individual passions and what they believe the Lord wants them to do. That's fine. And you know, I set aside time every day to support other folks' visions. To, you know, if they want me to forward something on email, I'll do it. If they want me to post something in Facebook once I get out of jail again, I'll do it. But I'm not going to, you know, I will, I'll be straight up honest with them. I'll say I will support you how I can. You know, I give a little money to pass a song every month. It comes out without me even seeing it. That's fine. That's an easy way to do it. But you know what? I don't just exclusively focus on what I believe my mission is now. I actually purposely schedule time to support other people's events to the extent I'm able to.
Trust can't do everything.
Satisfied with that, and they shut me off and stopped communication because I wouldn't jump full whole hog on their wagon. I'm sorry for that person. I really am sorry for that person because they do not understand unity one bit.
Hey, boys and girls, being a friend is more than a click on Facebook. We'll see you tomorrow.